Lowe's knows you're the powerhouse who does it right to show your yard who's boss. We do it right, too, with innovative Craftsman string trimmers featuring Easy Start technology for simpler pull starts. Shop now and add a new trimmer to your arsenal with a Craftsman two-cycle gas string trimmer for just $129. And for 2 days only, April 19th and 20th, all new and existing Lowe's credit card holders get 10% off purchases made with your Lowe's card. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Craftsman offer valid through 4/24. Credit offer subject to credit approval and can't be combined with other credit offers. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
The country's capital named after him.
Did you know, mister? Hear what I said, sir? Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
And connection, and we give praise to the Most High for life, to become the official of life and have it more abundant wherever you are. This is the kind and connection as we continue to talk about the things that are happening in our parish. We're expecting a wonderful show this evening. The mayor, our mayor of Clarendon, His Worship, Councillor Winston Maraj, ODJP, and also is the chairman of the Clarendon Municipal Corporation. He'll be on for the full hour. And also we are expecting the parish manager, the branch manager for the Social Development Commission, the SDC, Mr. McKenzie, should be joining us on the Clarendon connection. Yesterday we had an interesting forum in Maypen yesterday, where it was the Clarendon Agroeconomic Symposium, where we learned so many things about our parish. Our parish is building up because we want Clarendon to be the place of choice to live, do business, work, and retire. Clarendon is the parish that the English, when they came to Jamaica in 1655, this was the parish they chose to settle in. The first breadbasket of Jamaica was Clarendon, who started to produce a backside from as far back as 1960. The biggest agricultural show in the entire English-speaking Caribbean. It is held in Clarendon at a place called Denby. It's the Denby Agricultural Show that is held every 6th of August every year in Denby. It is Clarendon that has one of the best mineral baths in the world. I heard it is better than Germany and Italy. You got to come to the Milk River. It's the best mineral bath in the world. It is a Clarendon producer, a great man by the name of Captain Horace Borrell, who passed away. It was under his leadership that Jamaica Reggae Boys, the first English-speaking Caribbean country to enter into the FIFA World Cup in 1998 in France. He was a Caledonian. And it is now a Caledonian who is taking the reggae girls to France. We are indeed proud of our country. This is the Clarendon Connection. As I said before, my special guest this evening will be His Worship the Mayor, Councillor Winston Mirage, ODJP, and he's the chairman of the Clarendon Municipal Corporation, and also Mr. Baldwin McKenzie, parish manager for the SDC, will be joining us. We're going to be talking about the development of our parish. This is the Clarendon Connection. I'm coming to you straight from the foot of the Bullet Mountain in the district called Turtle Pond. You know, Bullet Mountain is the center geographically of our island. From Discovery Bay to the Bullet Mountain, you will get the center. From Rocky Point to the Bullet Mountain, you will get the center. From Negril Point to the Bullet Mountain, you will get the center. And from St. Thomas in the east, the Bullet Mountain, you will get the center of Jamaica. We are so physically located. And that is why the first breadbasket of Jamaica was Clarendon. It is Clarendon. We continue to highlight the goodness of our parish. It was a clergyman by the name of Percy Jr. and Edwin Allen, who had to change the course of
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yes, not too bad.
Good, it looks like Pastor dropped out for a minute. He should be back. Are you the special guest today?
Yes, I'm the mayor.
Okay, he should be calling in any minute now. He was on apparently. Okay. He should be calling in. He didn't know that you were on, and I'm trying to tell him that you're on, but he was just talking all along. So he should be calling in any minute now.
Okay, let him know I'm on this line.
Okay, he knows you're on.
Okay. No, just let him know. Yes, good evening to you, sir, and you're listening.
Yes, this is the Clarendon Connection. We are glad to have you on, sir, and the entire world is listening to you. So you could just go ahead and tell them about some of the good things that are happening in Clarendon, even that forum that took place yesterday at the St. Gabriel Anglican Church Hall. It's over to you, sir.
Okay. Well, it's good to be on your show, sir. Good to be on your show, and good evening to all your listeners worldwide. What we did yesterday was to put on what we call the Clarendon Agroeconomic Symposium. And the reason for this is that we have heard, and by the way, I'm the not only chairman for the Clarendon Municipal Corporation, but I'm also chairman of the Clarendon Local RADA Board. And so for the last 2-3 years, we have been going around talking to farmers. We have been getting reports from the extension officers, and we have 11 extension officers all over the parish of Clarendon. And what has been happening is that they have been reporting to us that a number of farmers have been complaining that they have been producing and they can't find the market for their produce. So we decided that we would put on this agroeconomic symposium where we would invite as much farmers as possible. Yesterday we catered to 400 people. We had 400 chairs in the auditorium, and it was filled to capacity, as you saw. It was overflowing outside. And what we did was we invited agency reps from all the agencies involved in agriculture, as well as those manufacturers, people who do value-added products with food. And so we have, like, Grace Kennedy was there. We have the gentleman from the bamboo industry to tell us about the uses of bamboo and how we need to plant more bamboo, so because there's a market there, huge market that we can't fill for bamboo. And we have a number of other agencies talking. As a matter of fact, we had the Cannabis Licensing Authority people, and they were there to explain to the farmers how easy it is to get involved in this new industry that is about to take off in Jamaica, and how they can get their license. So we decided to put all of this together. So we brought everybody together at one place, and you, right there you could sign contracts with Grace Kennedy for paper and other products right there on the spot. So we decided to put this thing together so that farmers of the parish could benefit. And as you saw, it was a huge success. Yes, go ahead.
So we are saying, Mr. Mayor, that the farmers, especially, of course, you know, I am in the northern section of the parish, which is really where we produce 90% of all the vegetables in Jamaica. Can go ahead now and plant up stuff because there is market for our produce.
There is market out there, but we just don't know where they are. So what we did, we took the effort. We had a team working. As a matter of fact, we had this team was led by our local economic development officer, which we employ at the Municipal Corporation, Mr. Damian Young. And he went out on a limb, and he brought all the parties together. Everybody together right there. And so we are saying to farmers that coming out of that symposium yesterday, what we will be doing next week, we'll be meeting with all the agencies, all the stakeholders over there, and we are going to do an assessment as to how did this thing go and what benefits, who and who were involved, how many people signed up, you know, and how we could link more people to the possibilities, and so on. So we'll be doing an assessment next week, and then we'll see how we can link, because we have all the numbers for everybody now, so we can link the people with the market, and we also will be meeting with the agricultural extension officers. And you know, like I said before, we have 11 extension officers. They go all over the parish. So when we are talking about Clarina, we're not only talking about Bullhead, we're not only talking about Turtle Pond, where you're from. We're talking about Veer as well. I heard you mention Rocky Point a while ago, to the center of the island, and so on. So we are targeting everybody in the parish. And I don't know if you know this, but ever since I was sworn in as mayor, I decided that day, on the 8th of December, 2016, that I declared that I'd be working with everybody in the parish. And I declared to the councillors, whether they were JLP, PNP, or NOP, I'd be working with everybody in the parish. And I'm telling you that I started 2 years ago, and I'm continuing the work. And in a little while, if you have the time, I can give you some of the examples of some of the things that we have been doing. Because, you know, as I said yesterday, I'm concentrating on water, because the farmers need water. Too many times I've seen we have drought in the parish, and when the food stuff gets into the market in Maypen, the prices double and triple, and the consumers are complaining. So what we intend to do is to get water in as much areas as possible of the parish that have no water.
Yes, we are very grateful for that, Mr. Mayor, because as you know, the saying in Jamaica says, water is life.
Very so, more or so.
And there are a lot of communities then that are without water at present, you know, and
mm-hmm.
We heard that, you know, well, yesterday you said there was a loan approved from, I don't know if it's for you, from the IDB or from where, for the Northern Carindon water system. How is that coming on?
Okay. All right. It's not really a loan. We're getting funding for the water project here right now this year from two sources. One from the government of Jamaica, because it's the first time that so much money is put in the budget for water supply systems, and this is an island-wide thing. But since I'm on the Rural Water Supply Board as well, I have the influence to get some water projects for Clarendon, which I've been lobbying for quite a while now, but because of the funding. This year, I can tell you that right in that area where you are from, in the Brandon Hill area, I found out that there is a huge source of water coming out of that Bullhead Mountain. And I visited the location, I brought the engineers there, and we have put together a project to harness that water and pipe it to the people of all the communities in the Brandon Hill area. And when I looked at the map, I also see Turtle Pond, which is where you are from, eh?
Right.
And then next door down the road, we have Johnny's Hill, where there's also a source, and that water is going to waste. And when I look there, I went there, visited the people in Johnny's Hill, and I see where the water that they're getting in the pipes, there's a pipe system there, but the water is dirty, you know, the source is not being tapped into properly, and so we decided to correct that one as well. As well as, I don't know if you have been into the Redlands area. The Redlands area is, there's also a huge source of water coming out of the hillside here. And we tested all of these water that I am talking to you about. We had the health department test them, and we found out that they are good quality water. We just need to put in the proper system and the chlorination system. And we are going to pipe that water from Redlands as well, all the way down that hill into Red Hills, that community of Red Hills. And we are going to take it all the way down into Orange River and down into Pumpkin. And most people know Pumpkin, eh? Because that's where you're trying to go up the hill. And we'll be working on one at Bunkers Hill, where they have a little small system there. We found out that we can tap into that source and expand it, and we'll also be doing that one at Bunkers Hill. Now, the UNDP now, and that what I told you about a while ago was the Government of Jamaica funding. Well, the United Nations Development Program now, they also have an assistance that they'll be giving us in the parish, where we'll be looking at the water supply system up in Crooked River Top. And we'll be piping that water up into Culloden. Right? And we also we'll be looking at another water supply system in Alexandria. That's a little community near Chapelton there, where we'll be looking at that one as well. We'll be developing that one as well this year. We also will be repairing some catchment tanks during the process, because there are a number of catchment tanks that have been abandoned over the years. And you know, sometimes when I talk about this, I get so emotional, because to tell you, you know, what has been happening is that, and I'm not knocking politicians, I'm a politician, but to know that we have members of parliament and councillors in these communities representing these people over the years, and there are catchment tanks that have been abandoned and people need water. Now, these are rainwater, you know, rainwater catchment tanks. And so we have a number of catchment tanks that we'll be rehabilitating this year as well, in the Moko area, Pusey, and all of that area. As a matter of fact, I just did some earlier this year, two up in the James Hill area, that area known as Dawkins in James Hill, where when I went there and looked at these tanks, and when I spoke to the people that were there, and they said to me, some of the people said to me, it is over 40 years that we have not gotten any water out of these tanks, these two tanks in James Hill. And I wrote a project to the Environmental Foundation of Jamaica. They had a call out at the time, last year. I wrote the project. I got it funded, and we're able to rehabilitate two tanks with just $3 million Jamaican. Can you believe that? And that means a lot of work. The people did the work themselves. They said to me, don't take any contractor here. We are going to do the work ourselves. And they stretched that money, and they did the two tanks. And they are now, those people are now benefiting from piped water in their houses. And I can tell you this, when I checked the amount of houses from one of those tanks, it is over 200 houses getting water from each of those tanks. Now, this is what I've embarked on to do, and I'm going to continue my work as long as I'm the mayor and chairman of the Municipal Corporation. And I know my term finishes at the end of next year, but whatever I can do between now and then, I'll be doing it. As a matter of fact, I can tell you this much. We have a system known as Pipe Hill, which is run by Thompson Town. I don't know if you know that area well. But Thompson Town, this Pipe Hill system. And this is where the primary school, which has nearly 500 students, and the high school in Thompson Town has nearly 1,000 students. About 1,500 students altogether. And when I went there, visited the principals, and looked at the school, they had to be trucking water to these schools. I mean, all these years, they had to be trucking water to these schools. And we found a source nearby that we are now building on. All we're waiting on now is the pump. We have ordered the pump to put onto the system. We have piped out the entire community. And I can tell you that very soon, another 2 months or so, when the pump arrives and is connected, the schools will be getting water on a daily basis without trucking. And all the residents who live around that area, and I'm told that we should be having like about 2,500 residents who should be benefiting from water from this supply system. And to think that, as I said before, we have had councillors there, we have had members of parliament there, from different sides, from both sides, and none of them saw it fit to implement any of these water projects so that the people that voted them in could benefit. You know, and the thing that I have to say this, being a politician myself, I've been counselor now for 29 years. But I'm just getting a chance to do what I've always wanted to do for the parish of Clarendon.
Yes, and the water is needed. So you're saying that tomorrow when I get on my other show, the Rise and Shine Devotion, I can almost announce to the residents in the northern section that we should be getting water very soon.
Very soon, in all of these communities that I told you about. And there are some more that I've asked my water engineer, to go around and do some estimates for me, because I'm going to ensure that we get the funding between this year into next year, and we are going to put in all of these, wherever we can find a little source of water, we are going to put that in. As a matter of fact, I also have a list making up now from the from the RADA office, where all the extension officers have requested of them to put together a listing of all their water supply systems that they have come across, no matter how small it is, so that the farmers can get water. And they have done so. They are putting the list together. I'll be picking it up tomorrow, and I am going to, wherever I can get the funding from, whether I have to sit down night and day and write projects, or I can get it from my source, from the Rural Water Supply Board, which is Government of Jamaica funding, and I will have to put in these water supply systems. Because I see the need is there for the water. The farmers are crying out for water whenever we have drought periods. And I'm going to ensure that all of this happens before my term ends at the end of next year.
Yes, because as I said before, you know, it is good that the farmers and the household will be getting water, because that is a necessity. But also, farmers don't only need water alone, you know, sir. They need roads.
Oh, yeah, well, I can tell you this much. In this year's budget, the government has set aside some money. I was listening to the budget debate, and they have set aside some money for farm roads. But, of course, it will never be enough, because earlier this year, I know they did some roads up in Boyce Content, which is on the western border with St. Catherine, or the eastern border, sorry, with St. Catherine, and they did another piece of road in Rosal, which is down by Sandy Bay here, where they have a farming community around there. And they also did another one in the Ebony Park, Agra Park, which is on the plain of Southwest, carrying down there. And they also did a piece up in Bloomwell to, I can't remember the name of the community there now, up in Northwest Clarendon, which is going out of Thompson Town. You go up to Victoria and go to Bloomwell, that area there. And they have been doing some roads, especially in the Moran area.
Yeah, I was in Bloomwell on Saturday, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
And I drove from Whiteshop to Bloomwell.
Yes.
That road is
a real NWA main road, the one you drove on from Whiteshop to Bloomwell. What I'm talking about is a farm road from Bloomwell down, and I'm trying to remember the name of the community now, but it slipped me. But it's somewhere off Bloomwell there.
Is it
a farm road.
Is it the Peace River Road?
Peace River, no, it's not Peace River. Peace River is passing Victoria going west. But this one is in Bloomwell to somewhere there. But I don't have the thing in front of me. You know, I'm at home now. But I know it was done. I know it was done. And we also did some in Morant, in that area there. You know the Morant area, which is owned by, yeah, Morant is near to Danks, Savoy, those areas. And yes. And there's another area that was done near Rock River too, as well, another piece of road. But, you know, the funding is not enough to do all of these farm roads. We'll be doing some more. We'll be doing some more in the new financial year. You should be doing about 8 to 10 more roads in the parish, farm roads, in this new financial year. And we try to spread it out so that, you know, everybody can get a little touch. You know, all the divisions and all the farming areas, the extension areas.
So you spoke about the water, and now we spoke about the roads. What about economic empowerment for groups of people who might come together and they have a project but there's lack of funding? How do we access such a thing in getting these things so that these community based can be elevated?
Yes. All right. There are some agencies now. They have announced $2 billion for the micro economic small business loans. And MSME, you know about MSME, right?
Yeah.
And they have announced $2 billion in soft loans for people who want to go into small businesses. So I'm sure we can go on some website there, we can find it. And even the GIS website, we can find exactly how we can access these soft loans. So if you want to go into agribusiness, if you want to go into any kind of economical business, anything at all you want to go into. And, you know, we at the Municipal Corporation, as a matter of fact, we have been putting up for 2 years of 2 years now, and we're in the third year now this year, where we have put up some money, and we have identified some young people. We call it the Youth in Business, Clarendon Youth in Business Program, where we target young people from each of the divisions in the parish. And, you know, we have 22 divisions in the parish. And as a matter of fact, this year we had to increase it. Last year we did 25, the year before we did 19. Now, this year we've gone up to as much as 32, because when we look at the projects that the young people sent in and how good, you know, the projects were, that we decided that we'd move up the figure. So we are trying to give young people a start in business that they choose, whatever they like, whatever they had already started and want to expand in. We have been assisting them at the Municipal Corporation, and we call it the Clarendon Youth in Business Project. We are looking.
Is that group exclusive to me? As I said before, you know, we are in the hills, man. We are in the northern section. We live up in the hills. How could we, as a group, get access and even spread it more around? Because a lot of times these things get centralized in Maypen, and then the people who are in the northern section, they get left behind.
Right.
I am saying, you know, how could we get a direct access to that?
All right, I can tell you this much as well. I just remember this one. The IDB have some soft loans out as well, and it is going through the cooperative banks. I'm sure you have one in Kellis. I think you have one in Kellis. There's also one in Frankfield and Chapleton and so on, those towns. So you can get these loans through these cooperative banks. What you could do, if you call me, well, tomorrow I'll be in council meeting. But if you call me like in the afternoon, say from 3 o'clock up to 5, I can get all the information for you that you can repeat it on your show again. But and I'll give it to you. And this is being done through a climate change adaptation program that they have in the north, where they are also building 1,800 check dams to halt the slide of the soil whenever we have heavy rain. You know Clarendon, right? We have drought, and then we have heavy rain, right? So it's from one extreme to another. So we have said to them, try and protect the soil for us, the erosion of the soil. And so they have decided that they are working through the Ministry of Economic Growth and Job Creation, and they are putting in 1,800 check dams. And all of this is being identified and done through the RADA officers there. And that work should begin shortly. They have identified the 1,800 sites, and they're advertised for a contractor to do the work, and that should begin shortly. So there are a number of other initiatives that they've been working on, you know, for the past 2-3 years.
Mr. Mayor, will any of these dams be built in this area, like Turkopan, Brandon, in Kearney's Ridge, Maho Hill, Morgan's Pass, those areas?
Yes. I'm sure. Because, as a matter of fact, part of the project was to reopen that factory that you guys have, which has been run by the JAS at Morgan's Pass. You know that factory?
Yes, I know that factory. They used to deal with Pakalaka Aki and stuff like that.
Right. Well, they are reopening all of that factory now to take all the produce that will be produced in that area. So all of that, if you pass there, you might see some people cleaning up over there, because I know they have taken over the factory, and it should be reopened shortly. They are working on it actively right now.
Mr. Mayor, also, you know that Clarendon North produce a lot of mangoes. Will the factory be taking in mangoes? Because years upon years, mangoes have been wasting. Do you think it's about time that we find the method and the means to preserve our mangoes and sell it overseas?
Yes, definitely. And you'd have heard the Minister of Agriculture, Minister Adlisha, speak about the mangoes yesterday, because they have identified a market for mangoes right now. And so we will be having more discussion. I'll be having more discussion with you on that one, because I'll be finding all of this, how we link you to the markets. And I'll be having some more discussions with the people at the Agriculture Ministry. And so I can pass that on to you, and you can pass it on to your people in the hills there. And so, because I don't like to see these things wasted. And you know, right off the top of my head, I'm just thinking that we could set up some small farmers to do some mango puree, you know, get a commercial juicer, juice these mangoes that are, you know, being thrown all over the place, freeze them and sell them to the school, bottle it and sell them to the schools, and right away our children could get real fruit juice instead of the bag juice and those sugary drinks that they've been talking about. And I'm sure they could learn better and faster by absorbing all of these fruit drinks.
Lots of our products that keep on going to waste. Mango is one. Breadfruit is another. Because if they have done the research, breadfruit, there can be juice that can be extracted from the breadfruit and so many things. The breadfruit can also turn into flour. But because we are lacking research, probably what we also need to look at, you know, I know you have the Scientific Research Council, but some, you know, the ministry has to invest into some research in the hills so that the farmers and the immediate surrounding could benefit from it.
Okay, well, we do have a marketing officer and a home economic officer at the RADA office in Maypen, you know. And I'm sure, you know, I'll have some discussions with them about it, and I'm sure I could send them up to you. Of course, we could talk off the air. And I'll get them up to you, and then all of that we'll be looking into. As a matter of fact, the next board meeting will be next Tuesday, and I will be talking to the extension officers for those areas that you're talking about, and to identify so that they can give us a figure about how much is being produced, how much is being wasted, and then we link that now with our home economics development officer at the RADA office and see how they can get in there and work with you guys, with your teams.
Coming up next month will be the Yam Festival that's going to be in Kelly. And we need more research to be done in yam, because there's a lot of byproduct that can comes from yam.
Out of yam. I agree with you. And I can tell you, your people up in California have been doing a good job with that, because I was here last year. I've been here this year as well. And I saw where they made a lot of different things out of the yam, and they even made yam wine.
Yes, there's yam wine and there is yam juice and all type of stuff. And also, can get muffins. That's a byproduct that can come from yam. And we need some research thing to be done in here, because everything does not have to be done in Kingston. That's what I'm saying. There is enough human resource here can get a lot of these stuff done. And as I'm saying, this is what Clarendon Connection is about. I go all over the parish and look into things that can be done, and we want to get them moving forward.
Of course. I agree with you totally. That's what I'm about. So I'm going to get those extension officers out there in the field, and I'm going to get them to give me a report, and then we'll talk about it, because we have a lot of people also who need to be employed, who need something to do. And just look at the crime rate, and you see that people need something to do. And some people not using their heads, you know, because some of them, you know, they can go there and try and do some things for themselves. But anyway, we have to assist them. If we have to, we have to do it. And so I'll work with you. I'll work with anybody who has all of these ideas, and we can link all the possibilities together.
As you mentioned about the crime scene, I mean, there are a lot of heinous crime that take place, you know, over from last week until, you know, this week and stuff like that, because we see a lot of murders taking place. I mean, up in Reading, there was a young man that got 10 shots. He died up in Reading. It's a quiet little town in northern Clarendon, you know, and seems to be, there also need to be a method in or a plan in place to address this crime situation. People now are getting scared, and we can't afford that in Clarendon.
No, and I'm telling you, it's one of the problems, you know. is that almost, well, I want to say almost every community, but I know, especially on the south, almost every community is filled with guns. We have a number of communities that almost every yard has a gun now. Because the guns are coming in, they are very cheap. Understand that sometimes they have them, sometimes they give them away. And it's as if it's easy to get them next door over in Haiti. So, you know, and this is where we're going to blame the fishermen, because they are the ones who use the boats, eh? And they go, and they come back in with guns. And you can hear a lot of stories. If you're on the south side like me, you hear a lot of stories about, you know, fishermen bringing in guns and selling them cheap and giving them away. So people have access to guns, and which we never used to have before. In the olden days, we used to quarrel and fight, eh? You'd have a neighbor here and the fences here, and they'll be quarreling and fighting and cursing about the wife and the mother and the daughters and so on and so forth. And nowadays, nobody curses anymore. Nobody fights with fists anymore, because everybody have access to a gun. So the slightest little quarrel you have, to go for a gun. You see?
Well,
and that's what is happening.
I'm so glad that you're on, because one thing I am proposing now, from my point of view, as a minister of religion, we need to get the pastors and the government and so involved in a massive prayer meeting in Maypen. I did that in 2015, yes. And Costas,
right.
Bill Shaw was one of the men who attended,
right.
The function. And so I am,
yes.
I am, Mr. Mayor. I know the SSP is carrying on quite well, and I know,
right.
The, you know, function of the pastors and so we need to get together and pray, because This crime situation in Clarendon, you know, even last night in a quiet little town in Tate, a young man went in on a lick and almost stabbed her to death. And they really rallied around and they caught him. And so he's now in the custody of the police. I am saying,
yes.
That what we can apply is the citizens and the government coming together and to have a day a fasting just for Clarendon. It can work because we understand that God knows everything, and if we seek His face, the Bible is still applicable in every situation in life, and we're not leaving that out. I am
definitely
together and pray.
Well, definitely we can do so. As a matter of fact, just this evening we had an interagency network committee meeting at the corporation, and the president of the Maypen Ministers Fraternal was there, Reverend Gary Knowles, and I was asking him how wide an area that he covers. And he says there's another Ministers Fraternal in the northern section of the parish, and he is like in the central area and at the southern area of the parish. And I was even asking him, how many churches do you cover? All the churches? And so on. And he said, yeah, basically all the churches, because they have been asking, you know, every church to come on board. So it would be easy to get everybody together for something like this that you're mentioning now, that you're talking about. And I remember when you did that in 2015. I didn't know it was you, but I remembered it. And
I was at the function
and so,
yesterday. I know,
yes.
Minister Noel, and by the way, I am the vice president for the Minister's Fraternity up in the north. So the
community
problem, and we can do it. A day of prayer for Clarendon. I believe in it with all my heart that it will yield results. You know, even coming out of that meeting yesterday, Mr. Mayor,
yeah.
I heard,
yeah.
Lieutenant Kadabi did a presentation on Vernon Field. Do you want to talk about that? We need to highlight about Vernon Field.
Yes. No, yeah, well, I mean, Vernon Field is on, definitely on. And, you know, Minister Mike Henry is the one that's pushing that one. And they have cleared the site, and they have started some groundwork down there. And there are discussions with some investors who will be coming in shortly. And they are planning to extend one of the runways a little more, and they are going to build another roadway, which is a longer one that they need now for the huge jumbo jets that will be taking in all of these cargo and so on. And it's a process, really. It's something that's going to take some 20, 25, 30 years to build out properly. Well, most of us won't be around by then, but the younger people will see it, and they will see it unfolding, you know, as different investors come in and put something here, put something there, put some, like, just like you saw on the screen yesterday. And that's how it's supposed to work. And at the end of it, then we'll have what we call a Eurotropolis. And it is not only for Jamaica, but it is for the Caribbean. And thousands of people would be employed, you see, when it's all built out. So that is something good that we need to tell our people about.
You mentioned, Mr. Mayor, we have to work on them to get them going. All of them, they are absolutely critical. And for
yes.
the occupants of our parish.
Right. Right. Yes. Well, they are being worked on, you know, it's just that these things take a little time. You know, even if everything that's a process. You know, you have to get seek funding, you have to get approvals, and approvals really do take some time. I can tell you this. I'm at the municipal corporation for 29 years. And even when you submit a building plan, there are certain processes that it has to go through. It has to go through, it has to go to all the different agencies. Everybody has to do their investigation. They have to comment on it. I take a little simple thing like building a house. If you submit a plan to build a house anywhere in the parish, you know, that copies of that plan have to be sent to the NWC, have to be sent to the health department, have to be sent to JPS, have to be sent all over the place to all the different agencies. And they all have to sign off on that to say, yes, they'll be able to provide this facility, they'll be able to provide that commodity, they'll be able to provide this, or this house should be built this distance, X distance from the roadway, and that sort of thing, and so on. So this everything takes time, eh? Everything takes time to get the proper approvals so that you don't have any problems later on down the road. And that's what it's all about. So you ensure sustainability. So, yes, we have been working on a number of things. Sometimes I myself think that we are moving too slow. You know, we really need to move faster. But that's how it is.
There was also mentioned in that meeting yesterday, Mr. Mayor, about sea cotton, which was first produced in Clarendon. How can that reintroduce so that people can benefit economically from this plan?
Okay, well, the Ministry of Agriculture, they are in discussions with some people overseas right now to produce, as you heard, the minister said it, right? Minister Shaw said it yesterday, to buy this cotton from us again so that we can have a proper market out there. And they're working on that. They've identified some markets already. And what we need now to do is to get the land and get some farmers involved and to go out there and start planting this cotton. And, you know, in the olden days, I remember we used to call it the Sea Island cotton. And it used to grow wild, as a matter of fact. Even after they stopped planting it down in Veer, it still used to grow wild along the roadside, especially down by the Salt River Road and those places. So it can be done easily, it can be revived. And they also spoke about the castor bean, castor oil. Castor oil is needed now all over the world, gallons of it. And some of it has been growing wild now in the old cane field, the abandoned cane fields down in Veer. And people down there in Veer are now making money from the castor beans because it is growing wild. So all they do, they go pick it, they find a way to juice it, get the juice out and the oil out. And people from Kingston coming in and purchasing. Some purchasing the raw material, some purchasing the oil. And so we have a number of people making a living from it down in Veer right now. So they have identified this company as said to the government that they need 2,000 acres to plant this castor bean. And they have identified 2,000 acres, which is around the community of Mitchelltown. And incidentally, that's where I'm from. I'm from Mitchelltown. And all of these lands have been there idle from when I was a little boy. They're all abandoned cane fields. They said that it wasn't good suitable for cane because it was salty. But if it's now suitable for Castor beans, they find out. So we should see some production taking place down there in a little while, as well as with the cotton. I think what I'll have to do, I'll have to find out if it, or you could find out if cotton could grow up in your area and if you are in the idle lands, because the last time I spoke to a member of parliament, Doris Daly, he told me that he didn't have any idle lands up here. Everything was in agriculture.
Well, we'd have to see what kind of, because we the farming up this side, and you know, there are lots of land that can be utilized to produce this stuff. But one of the things that's in us is the roads. You know, there are a lot of lands in Bullet have over 500 acres, so that would be
right
for planting and all those type of stuff. But there are lands that here, and even like you mentioned the bamboo. There are a lot of bamboos in Clarendon now, but it's the access to get to them.
Yes. I know. The people over in Peckham is doing a bamboo project there now. And my local economic development officer, I know, he just wrote a project to get some more funding for them to expand the Peckham bamboo project. And you know, Peckham is over on the other side, the Franklin side here. And so they should be, if that project is approved, they'll be getting that funding to expand their project that they have over there. And they have set up a kiln where they burn the bamboo, get charcoal, and they bag it and export it. And I said that bamboo charcoal is very good for like outdoor picnics and stuff like that, barbecuing.
And it is good for the environment.
And it is good for the environment as well. And see, the gentleman told us yesterday that they can use it to make t-shirts.
Is there any plan to revive the railroad that came from Frankfield, that came to Morgan's Pass and all the way back to Maypin? What about reviving that railroad?
Yeah, I know. That is going to take a lot of funding. That we'll have to get some overseas investors to come in on that one. I tell you, so once you allow these things to go down, anything at all, once you allow it to get out of hand, to go down, to deteriorate, it's very hard to bring it back up. Because the cost nowadays to refurbish all of those things, I guess, going. Because I'm sure the sleepers have all rotten people to dig them out, people move them, do all sort of thing with them. The scrap metal men took care of all the lines, all the rail lines, as much as possible that they could. You remember that trade, that, and so on. So it's going to be a difficult task to put that one back in place. Even the main ones going on the flat here, I know the Railway Corporation is having challenges trying to get their thing, you know, kept intact, because of a pilfering. So I can't promise you, yes, that one can work, but it's a possibility if we can get investors from overseas.
As you know, I live at the foot of the Bullet Mountain. Bullet is my surrounding. I've walked there, I've driven to there and all type of stuff. What is
right
done about the development of Bullet? Because you know Bullet, on Ash Wednesday, the entire Jamaica comes to Bullet. What plans do you have in place for development of Bullet?
Well, I can tell you this much. I'm aware that there's some funding to build some huts, some little things up the top here, the hill there, that just like we have mentioned, the center of the island, so that people can come up and hang out, and you know, and even some little huts that people can camp out and so on, can be rented out and stuff like that. But we are facing a challenge with the forestry department. The forestry department, because the area was declared, you know, that protected area, the forestry department, you know, have been saying no building of any huts, no building of whatever sort up here. And so we have been having a number of meetings with them, you know, try to convince them to, you know, let us go ahead with this project and watch and see how it works, you know. If you see that it is deteriorating the, you know, your area, which you consider it to be protected, then we'll pull it up or we'll stop. But they're still objecting to us putting those huts up there, log cabins and so on. So we're still fighting with that one. So it's very difficult to develop in any real way. You know, while the area is protected by law as a forestry reserve. You see? But we will continue to fight on that one.
All right, Mr. Mayor. It was really good having you on for this entire hour. And indeed, the Clarendon Connection is grateful. I know your commitment to our parish, and we want to see our parish develop, as I said before. Our parish has produced many great men, and we think with all these plans coming on, you know, we will continue. The parish will continue to produce many great people, and we are,
yeah.
You know, we are indeed told that you could be on for this hour to really have this discussion, and we are looking forward to all these things that you have mentioned. As, you know, we are looking forward to the day of fasting, because as I said, from my point as a minister of religion, I am very much concerned about that, and we're going to be putting that together. And also, we'll be looking at these water projects that you said should be on stream. We're looking forward to that. Burnham Field, all of those things that you have done. You know, we are excited about it. And remember now, I speak to the world, so I'll be telling about all of these things, because people are excited about it.
Sure, definitely. You see them taking place. You know, most of them, the water projects in this year, towards the end of this year, you'll see them taking place. They'll take a while to build some of these systems, because even the Brandon Hill one is a huge one. And the Redlands down to Red Hills and Orange River and so on, that's another huge one. But you'll see it happening this year, because the funding is already in place. It's in the national budget for this year. And you'll see them one by one. As a matter of fact, you keep in touch, and I'll let you know how they're progressing. But Vernon Field now, that one I told you, is going to take many years to build out.
Yeah, man, I will definitely be in touch, man, and I'm sure, you know, I'll be inviting you to come on again to speak to the world about the good things that are happening in Clarendon, because I am very passionate about Clarendon, man. I was born here 58 years ago, and I am not leaving, staying right here.
Of course, definitely, Reverend, definitely. And I didn't tell you, before I go, I didn't tell you about. Yes. Oh, go ahead.
No, I said I am defending Clarendon College and Edwin Allen. I mean, who are you defending?
Well, you know, I'm a 10-year-old boy now, so. So I stick to that sort of thing. But I didn't tell you about the water project that I'm also doing down in my area, that is in Mitchelltown. And put on cottage on those areas, Shearer Heights, and put it in subdued water supply system down there. Right now, they have spent over $200 million. And very soon, by the end of next month, all of those people down there will be getting water in their pipes. Some of them for the first time. As a matter of fact, the Port and Cottage Primary School will be getting water for the first time in 70-odd years. So I'm not only working in the hills, but I'm also working on the flat.
The time was well spent. My time is up, and we are very grateful to Almighty God for power. And we are very glad to have you on, you know, His Worship, the Mayor, Councillor Winston Mirage, ODJP, and he's also the Chairman of the Clarendon Municipal Corporation. We are very glad to have you on the Clarendon Connection, and I will be in touch with you, and because as we work on this project for the development of our parish, Clarendon, the first birthplace of Jamaica.
Yes. Definitely, Reverend. Thank you very much. And thanks to your listeners for listening to me for this last hour.
Yes, sir. God bless and thank you. Over to you, studio. Take it away.
Lowe's knows you'll do it right. To get your backyard ready for entertaining, we do it right too, with everything you need to create an inviting space and save at the same time. Make the stakes to keep your guests coming back for more and save with $50 off select grills and smokers. And for plants that come back every year, pick up 2.5-quart perennials, now 3 for $12. Whatever you need to get a backyard you're proud of, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through April 24th. See store for details, U.S. only. Perennial offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows you'll do it right. To get your backyard ready for entertaining, we do it right too, with everything you need to create an inviting space and save at the same time. Make the stakes to keep your guests coming back for more and save with $50 off select grills and smokers. And for plants that come back every year, pick up 2.5-quart perennials, now 3 for $12. Whatever you need to get a backyard you're proud of, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through April 24th. See store for details, U.S. only. Perennial offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.